It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or The Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs. The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Miss McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Hi, welcome to the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man. Anyways, pretty much what we're going to do today is do a review on the movie known as The Hulk. Actually called Hulk, not The Hulk. It was made in 2003, if you remember. Just a literal atrocity, horrible film, I mean, for Marvel, because if you remember right, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, believe that in the war, you know, the comic book war, the comic movie book war, what have you, building between DC Comics and Marvel, Marvel really lost out on this movie. It was just a complete and utter disaster, and unfortunately, you know, Marvel never really recovered from this horrible atrocity. You know, not to mention that they had to kind of put in some band-aids on, you know, what they did with this movie as compared to The Incredible Hulk. I have not seen The Incredible Hulk yet, and a lot of people, unfortunately, had a hard, you know, it was a hard sell to, you know, why they should go pay $8.50 to go see The Incredible Hulk, when we all know, you know, past and, you know, past relations with movies clearly states that no sequel is actually better than the original. So, well, you know, maybe I'll go see The Incredible Hulk, maybe I won't. We'll find out. But that's not really what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about Hulk, this utterly piece of garbage that came out in 2003 and was just terrible. I mean, it was just bad. Like, you don't know how bad. I mean, it was, unfortunately, they call this an action film, and pretty much to me, it was like a soap opera. Like, you'd rather watch the Soap Network if you wanted to watch a soap opera, because this is pretty much a soap opera to me. It's pretty much drama. It's almost like, you know, watching, you know, American Werewolf or something. You know, it's pretty much following that storyline, and I mean, they claim that it's based off the, you know, comic book title of, you know, The Incredible Hulk, but we look at the title, and the most important thing is Hulk, okay? When was there ever a comic just called Hulk? It was always called The Incredible Hulk. I mean, even the TV series was The Incredible Hulk. Not to mention the fact that, it was about David Banner, and in this movie, we're actually talking about his son, Bruce Banner. And David Banner is actually kind of the villain in this film. He's a sick fuck, too. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer style for a dad, definitely. I mean, definitely comparable to Jeffrey Dahmer. one wacky tabacky, if you ask me. So, anyways, pretty much we are looking at the cast, and there isn't really too much to say about the cast. Eric Bana plays Bruce Banner. Jennifer Connelly, who is just smoking gorgeously hot, oh, so hot, plays Betty Ross. Sam Elliott plays General Ross. Josh Lucas plays Glenn Talbot, a real dickhead in this film. And Nick Nolte actually plays Bruce Banner's father, David Banner. So, in this film, pretty much, it's really long. Like, too long. 2 hours and 18 minutes. And we're, you know, I have a serious problem with this film. Okay, first of all, let's get some things straight. I'm not really a Hulk fan to begin with. You know, I did watch the TV series growing up a little bit back in the, you know, early 80s. The TV series actually was introduced in 1979. I wasn't really a big fan of this to begin with, but I mean, it helps because it's coming from an unbiased view. Usually my reviews are pretty biased because I'm usually a fan of something. This is the first time that I've actually done a review where I'm just, you know, completely unbiased going into this as far as being a fan of a film. Or a series or a cartoon like I usually am. So with that said, let's just jump right in the storyline. There's some things, though, I dislike about Ang Lee. If you really want to point to somebody who's created a real big mess for Marvel right now and the war between them and DC, it is Ang Lee. He's definitely made some mistakes in his time, and this is one of his huge blunders that, you know, honestly started the downfall for Marvel, because I mean, they were kicking butt, if you remember, against DC Comics, and, you know, I'm sort of Marvel. I like Marvel more than I do DC Comics. I've always loved Marvel Comics. I've always been a Spider-Man fan over Superman. I've always been, Captain America fan over Batman. You know, and I've never really been a fan of this so-called Justice League, you know. So, anyways, and again, X-Men, I've always been a fan of X-Men over anything else that, you know, DC throws out there. But, you know, it's weird because now I see myself becoming a Batman fan because they, you know, caught on to a new development in their usual, you know, comic book storylines, and they've actually thought outside the box and actually made it really appeal not only to comic book fans, but the, you know, average Joes on the street like you and me. And, after DC's disaster of Catwoman, it was a really, you know, I thought it was going to take them forever to really, come back and pack a punch to Marvel, but apparently it didn't, because now they're dominating, you know, five years later, I mean, the, you know, box office with their hits. So, anyways, pretty much the storyline is supposed to follow the comic book, but it certainly doesn't, not even close. Well, first of all, we're, you know, in the beginning of the movie, it's kind of like this whole scientific, you know, theme, which I guess is alright, because we have to talk about some science with the Hulk, but not over a fucking hour of science. I mean, come on. I want to watch the Hulk. I don't want to watch fucking scientific, you know, research going on the entire time, and that's the problem in this film. So anyways, you know, you start in the movie with rolling through the credits and everything, and there's all these starfish, and, you know, we kind of learn the genetics of the Hulk, that it comes from actual creatures within, and David Banner uses the serum on himself this whole entire time. He's studying this as part of a, you know, governmental test to improve people's immune systems. This was all back in 1966. So anyways, it's in this location known as Area 51. And how many times do we have to see Area 51, like, in a movie? I mean, we've seen it in Independence Day, we've seen it in the new Indiana Jones. I mean, you know, Creepshow even, you know, shows Area 51. I mean, geez Louise, you know, every freaking, you know, Twilight Zone, Area 51, Tomb Raider, Area 51. You know, what is it with this obsession with, you know, always having Area 51 in every single movie that deals with, you know, scientific research? It's stupid and it's boring. I mean, come on, think of something new. Why can't it be in, you know, the jungle? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's where usually, you know, scientific research takes place every day. But no, we gotta have it in Area 51. So, anyways, pretty much, Sergeant Ross, is kind of overseeing the whole, you know, operation done by David Banner, and David was actually taking the serum this whole entire time, and guess what happened? His genetics went in, his changing genetics went into his son, because he ends up having a son with, you know, Bruce's mother, Edith. So Edith and David have a son, and pretty much this whole entire time, at the beginning of the movie, Sergeant Ross says, okay, you can run this operation, but I do not want you using this on any humans at all. Well, he's been using it this whole entire time for, like, you know, the first couple years of Bruce's life on him. And it's kind of weird, because, like, since David's genetics passed into Bruce's, he's been kind of shooting them up with steroids, you know, genetic steroids, and that's kind of funny in itself. So it's kind of like a baseball coach giving, you know, his own baseball players, you know, the juice when he's not supposed to. So anyways, it kind of strengthens his immune system, and he can heal faster than, you know, lightning. I mean, in the movie, there's a scene where the kids get into a fight, and Bruce gets kind of knocked around a little bit, and the mom goes, you think he'd be screaming bloody murder, but he isn't. And, you know, you kind of find out that, you know, it's his genetics born into his father, and his father was actually giving him all this treatment. So the entire time his father's, you know, trying to come up with some type of, not cure, because that's what he claims it is, but that's a total lie, some type of, you know, way to create a superhuman, and eventually it happens. So anyways, after all this, Sergeant Ross finds out that, you know, Bruce is a total whack job, and, you know, he's like, you're off this case, you know, get out, and I don't want to see you in this, you know, military place again. And he actually calls for security and everything, and guess what, you know, Banner does? He flicks on, like, all the switches, and apparently there's an explosion that happens like the atomic bomb, only it's green, like a big puff of green smoke rather than regular smoke. Yeah, right. I mean, again, this theme is so old with these stupid explosions that always happen, like atomic bomb radiation explosions. I mean, how many times have we seen that before in a movie? Like, I can't even count on my fingers and toes how many times I've seen that. Jeez. So, after that, Bruce's mom and dad pretty much get into a fight, and Bruce at this time is about, I'd say, 4 or 5, they claim in the movie. He looks like 7 or 8 to me. Well, they get into a fight, and you hear a bunch of arguing and stuff, and the explosion happens. And then guess what? It's such a vague storyline, it cuts off. So instead of describing the storyline of what actually happened right away, you just throw it into a storyline that's just completely out of place. So after that, it just flips right away to a scene where he's going to college, and I guess he has some type of foster parent, and the foster parent goes, "Bruce, you're really special. You have something really special inside you. You just have to let it out, you know, because you keep it all bottled up in." Yeah, homicidal green monster maniac. You know, I thought that line was kind of funny, but cheesy at the same time. It wasn't a bad line. Not as bad as this one line we're going to, you know, dissect in a little while. So after that, pretty much you're introduced to his laboratory at Cal Berkeley University, where he's an actual scientist, and he does scientific research, the same scientific research that his own father did, but he doesn't know who his father is or even remember. So anyways, this whole entire time he's subconsciously doing this, and I can't imagine that you would just have in your genes just to, you know, you've been programmed to do a certain amount of research. That's like saying, you know, just because my dad was an ex-football player and I don't know who he is, that means that I'm going to, like, you know, football too, and I'm going to join out for a football squad, you know? That's so fucking stereotypical. That's so fraudulent. Like, that storyline right there, that's a little unbelievable to believe. I mean, that's too fucking much of a coincidence. And we all know from experience, anytime you get into too many coincidences, it really fucks up a storyline. So after that, pretty much, he does his research, and they're testing it out on a frog, and you're introduced to Betty, his, kind of girlfriend, who's, again, played by Jennifer Connelly. And you're kind of introduced to his laboratory buddies, and you kind of see that he's a geek because he wears a helmet on top of his head, a bike helmet. I mean, who in the hell rides a bicycle and wears a bike helmet these days? Look like a fucking retard running down the road and get laughed at. So anyways, pretty much, they go through the research and they test it out on a poor little fucking frog. I mean, this frog, if this is like the worst possible way to die. I mean, you know, and again, I didn't see Stan Lee put in the credits or anything that, no animals were harmed in this clinical testing. I mean, I didn't see that in the credits, so I guess they really did kill the frog. So anyways, cruel bastard. You know, another thing that's stupid too is how Stan Lee always appears in every movie. Like, why does he have to do that? Like, in, like, say Spider-Man, he's like the postman. Well, in this movie, guess what? He appears as this, you know, stupid security guard. Like, he's so, like, superficial of himself and, you know, so narcissistic. I have to appear in this film because I'm great and I directed it and people should know who I am. I mean, what a fucking asshole. What type of, you know, director has to consistently ruin a film by appearing in it every single time? It just gets old. Quit appearing in your own damn movies, damn it. Anyways, So after they test the frog, this frog fucking explodes. Like, at first it heals its wound, and you kind of see the effects of the radiation. It helps out, like, heal wounds and strengthen immune systems, which was actually what was intended for the research. Well, the frog explodes like a jelly donut. Like, if you were to literally step on a jelly donut and watch it explode and go, that's what exactly happened. And it's like, everywhere. It's disgusting. So, after the frog dies, they're kind of upset, and they're kind of like, well, we have to start from scratch again. Well, sure enough, Betty runs into this asshole named Glenn, and he's a scientist that, you know, he's not really a scientist, but he sort of is. He owns his own corporation, and he has one thing on his mind, money. So he wants the scientific research, and he's trying to get, you know, always trying to steal Betty off of Bruce, and he wants Betty to join his team. Well, she doesn't buy it and, you know, says adios. Well, anyways, the research continues later on, and you find out what happens is this. They go back to doing the research, and an accident happens. Well, it turns out that in order to, you know, create the Hulk, you need radiation energy. I mean, what is the Hulk? Like, does he run off of, like, is radiation, like, his gasoline or something? Like, you know, it stays hidden, and then, like, you radiate, and then you finally get, like, you know, like fuel or something? I mean, what is it, like a car? I'm completely confused by that. Like, why did he need radiation to become the Hulk if the Hulk was already inside his fucking genes? Like, I don't understand. Like, is the Hulk autistic? Because, you know, I mean, that's what they say about autism, and they say that the genes need to be awakened. Well, you know, not to make fun of autistic people or anything, because, you know, I work with kids all the time with that. But, I mean, it's kind of funny, because, you know, we're sitting here saying that the genes need to be awakened, and so you're telling me that the Hulk's actually autistic. What a piece of shit. Anyways, so he, what happens is, you know, the usual scientific experiment accident that's also shown so many times in films, and it actually zaps him, and then he kind of flipped to him being in the hospital, and Betty at his side, of course. How, you know, how typical. So pretty much he talks to her and everything, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine, you know, even the doctor wanted to know what, you know, was wrong with me, and Betty said that he, you know, she's like, you should be dead, and what's wrong, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyways, pretty much after that, he's released from the hospital. He's not even released from the hospital. He just stays there for a while. And sure enough, the dad shows up unexpectedly. But, like, he worked in as a janitor before at Cal Berkeley, because he had broken out of jail after 30 years, supposedly. And anyways, David Banner, Bruce's father, shows up at his, you know, hospital room and says, son, listen, you're, you know, a scientific freak and I can help you and blah, blah, blah. But no, what he really wants to do is he wants him to be the Hulk, and he wants to use the Hulk as revenge for, you know, people picking on him all his life. Kind of, you know, to show the world that he can rule the world, and that scientific research is, you know, the answer for the entire world. And to defy, you know, God and all these other things. He's completely evil and sick in the head. So, anyways, let's call him a Scientologic dirtball. That's what I kind of like, because he looks like a freaking child molester. I mean, Chester McGlester, child molester, definitely in this film. So, he's this scruffy-looking guy, and he comes into the hospital and tells his son all this stuff, and, you know, his son, of course, gets really pissed and tells him to leave, you know, just get out of my face and leave. So, after that, he has nightmares of becoming the Hulk, and, you know, the prophecy's almost coming true that he's eventually going to turn into this green monster. But one thing that annoys me is after he does eventually, you know, wake up out of bed and everything, you know, we start this dark sequence, and you're going to see why later this type of stuff pisses me off. Well, after that, he goes back to the laboratory, starts doing his, you know, usual research and everything, and Glenn kind of comes in to threaten him this time and says, hey, if you don't buy into, you know, my research team, I'm going to have you, you know, can, I'll buy you out. And he kind of threatens Bruce Banner, and he wants this research. So, anyways, he's not giving in to him at all, and they get into a huge argument, huge fight. He walks out of the office all pissed off as hell. Well, Bruce and Betty were kind of talking and about what was going on, what would happen. Well, Betty kind of talks about the dreams that she had before and back at, you know, Area 51, and it turns out that, you know, all of them were actually at the same place at the same time. So it's kind of retarded in the sense that, you know, there's, again, a lot of coincidences going on. And, I don't like coincidences like this. It ruins a film. So, anyways, after that, like, pretty much what happens is this. Betty meets her father, and they haven't talked in a while, and, you know, they're kind of going over just who, you know, Bruce Banner really is. His last name, he doesn't actually use Banner to begin out with. He uses a different last name to kind of cover up who he really is. And, you know, her father tells her that, you know, Bruce is really Bruce Banner, David Banner, the psychotic, you know, person who got locked up, that's his father. So she's kind of, you know, like, blown away by all this and doesn't really let it sink in. I mean, obviously not, because, you know, love is blind, which is why I hate this film, because it's based off of a stupid love story, and that's not really what Marvel Comics is supposed to be about. And nor is the Hulk. So, anyways, like, this whole entire time, you're going over this research, and it's so boring. I mean, you'd swear you were watching, like, the soap opera network or whatever, and you'd rather watch Young and the Restless than this piece of shit. So, anyways, like, what happens, basically, is this. She goes back to the lab and everything and, you know, talks to Bruce about all these dreams that she was having and, you know, just all this coincidence is going on, and it just really gets annoying. Because, you know, if the father really wanted to, you know, pull her away from working with Bruce, he thought he would have done that. Well, after all, you find all of this out, and it's pretty hard to believe at this point. Bruce is, actually threatened by, Bruce is actually threatened by his father again, and he went back to the laboratory during the night, and again, this day-to-night transition is terrible because you can't even see what's going on, and this is what I wanted to bring out. So when he turns into the Hulk, you can't see what's going on. You've waited like over 45 minutes to see the Hulk, and you can't see him. I mean, that's like me shutting out the lights, you know, during a, you know, big-time football game you want to watch and not being able to see the players actually play. Or it's like, cutting the lights during a big opera, ceremony or something, so you can't see what's actually, going on during the play. It's totally ridiculous, and what a waste, and what a ripoff. I mean, did they actually think that that was cool to do, like, rip you off of seeing the Hulk? Just, like, please, God, no. We've been waiting the Hulk so long, please make us wait longer, because we want more excitement. It's stupid. I mean, it totally killed the movie, completely, and totally killed the excitement. So, after he turns into the Hulk, you can kind of see him for a little, just like little bits and shots of it, and it's stupid because you don't even get to see the best part, which is the actual transformation of him into the Hulk. And trust me, it is really a sad, pathetic CG job done when he's actually, turns into the Hulk. I mean, the CG in this movie is just terrible. Well, anyways, he turns into the Hulk, talks to his father and, almost kills him that night, and, just completely destroys the laboratory and everything. And anyways, the next day, his Betty's father actually comes down with the military because, he's Sergeant Ross. And he can do this, so he comes down and says, Bruce, I want to know what you know. And he doesn't remember anything, He doesn't remember what happened at the Area 51 site or anything. And he just grills him and grills him. He's like, how can you not remember what happened all those years ago when you were 4 years old? Like, how can you not remember your father, like what he did or anything? And he doesn't remember at all. So that's, I guess some people don't, remember what happened during, post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm not buying it in this movie. I thought that was a poorest job of the storyline here. So he doesn't remember what actually happened, and you're kind of left with, well, we're going to keep you, sort of on house arrest. I mean, what is this, like? I mean, I didn't know the military can just come into your door and just, like, step right in and put you on house arrest. So, that's kind of stupid. I mean, you'd think the police would actually handle that crap. This fucking stupid storyline, it absolutely makes no sense. So, with that said, anyways, he's, detained, and he has his, kind of, I guess, FBI agents outside of his house and stuff. I mean, it's not really the FBI, it's military police that's outside his house. So, if it's dealing with the government, shouldn't it be the FBI? I mean, they do have certain protocols for that. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And what's Sergeant Ross anyways? I mean, how high-ranking is he? They don't really state that in the movie. I mean, yeah, he is a sergeant, but, Sergeant of what? Is he, like, a Secretary of Defense or something? I mean, how does he have all these jurisdictions, And, I mean, he's got a, a military sergeant can come right into your home and just, like, tell you you're on house arrest, according to this film. I mean, what a piece of shit. So, with all this confusion going on, Bruce is sitting there at his house, and sure enough, Glenn shows up and says, how dare you get me kicked off the case, And Before that, though, before we touch base on that stupid storyline, Betty goes to her Bruce's father, and because she finds out that it's actually the janitor that's his supposed father. So they talk for a while, and David Banner explains to Betty that, you know, he's, Bruce's father, and that he's been injecting him with this serum the entire time, and he can't be fixed, and blah, blah, blah. And all he really wants to do is just, you know, have a psycho for a son to go around and kill people because he couldn't do it himself. Because he can't awaken, you know, supposedly the genes inside of him. So, after that, Glenn shows up, starts kicking the crap out of Bruce, who's a total weakling. He's about as weak as, actually he's weaker than Steve Urkel. I bet you Gary Coleman could, whip this guy in a 13-round fight. I mean, he's absolutely a wuss. I mean, come on, defend yourself. I mean, this guy's just getting the crap kicked out of him by a laboratory scientist that's, skinnier than a pencil neck geek, and he's demanding, that Bruce Banner give him the scientific research that he has, or he'll come after him. So anyways, he starts beating him up, and then the stupidest, most overused line in the movie comes when he goes, "You won't like me when I'm angry." How many times has that been used? I mean, it's stupid. Why do we need to hear that cheesy line? I mean, that's more overused than "Help, I'm falling and I can't get up," or "You got the right one, baby," or "It takes one to know one," or, more overused than fat mama jokes in a movie. It's stupid. I mean, why do we have to hear that line? And, I really hate that line. It's dumb. So, he turns into the Hulk, and the whole entire, he starts kicking the crap out of, Gwen, and just throws him out the window or whatever. And after that, he's pretty much on the loose, and he tears up the whole entire, house and everything, and, he's trying to save his girlfriend from these mutant dogs that his father supposedly made, because he's talking on the phone to his dad. I guess the Hulk has enough smarts to dial a phone. I mean, if he's talking on the phone, how can he hold the receiver? Wouldn't it crush in his hands? I mean, I'd like to see the real Hulk, dial numbers, on a keypad or something. I mean, on a touch-tone phone. I'm pretty sure he'd break the keys on it. So, right there, that's telling me this is just too, there's too many, too much gray area in this storyline, and it just doesn't make any sense. So after he's done talking to his dad on the phone, because I guess the Hulk can do that, I thought the Hulk was supposed to be a mindless creature. I thought he wasn't supposed to know anything and except to just destroy and destruct things. Well, how does he have enough smarts to dial a phone? I'm sorry, that just doesn't make sense to me. So anyways, after that, pretty much, what happens is, he's pretty much met, by these two creatures outside his, girlfriend's home, Betty, because Betty's, being attacked by killer dogs that the father, put mutant crap into it, just genetics, I guess, into these dogs, and so they turn into Hulk animals. Well, this is the problem again. guess what? You're waiting for a big fight scene between these huge creatures, and guess what? First of all, these mutant creatures are weak. They're not even, like, that big. And it's like watching a pay-per-view. And imagine if, like, you know, we're going to use the Hulkster, like Hulkamania in this example. Like, imagine if you were watching, like, Hulkamania, and you waited for the last match, and all you wanted to see was the Hulkster. Well, guess what? His matchup is against the two scrubs. Like, two nobodies, like Bill Thomas and Bert the Dirt Lee or something. You know, Dirt Lee. And he kicks the crap out of him, and it's like a two-minute battle, and he pins him, and that's the end. So imagine if you paid for that pay-per-view. You'd be pretty pissed off, right? Well, guess what? You're going to be pissed off for this battle because it sucks. You can't, first of all, you can't see it, okay? It's completely dark out. And he just kicks the crap out of these stupid animals that are supposed to be really big and strong. He just, like, wastes them and pounds them in the ground. It's a stupid, useless battle that you can't even see. So, eventually he turns back into Bruce Banner, and the next morning, at this log cabin house that Betty stays at, you know, Betty kind of soothes him up, and then, being the backstabbing bitch that she is, she turns him in. But I can understand in some regards, because, you know, I mean, if I had a killer homicidal Hulk maniac, you know, at my house, I'd probably want to turn him in too, but not to the dad. I mean, come on, you know what the dad's going to do. He takes them in for observation, and guess what happens? You're reintroduced to the guy that he sells them out to. He sells them out to that Glenn dickhead again, and this time it gets really bad. So he's in this, you know, cryo prison place or whatever. I have no idea. It looks like a freaking bank safe to me. I mean, you know, and again, the set's just terrible. It just looks like it's an actual, you know, set. like you can see, like, the background and everything, and, like, the cement that, you know, occurs with this set. So, Area 51, again, being used out in the desert, because apparently the stereotypical, you know, the only place the military's at is Area 51, type of, you know, stereotype, stereotypical setting, I guess. Well, he's locked up, as Bruce, and he hasn't changed into Hulk or anything yet, and he's just kind of there in prison for a while until they know what the hell to do with him. Well, he's sold out to Glenn, and, Glenn's corporation just takes him away, and he wants him to turn into the Hulk so he can get a piece of his DNA. I mean, what an asshole. All he cares about, you know, I mean, is killing people too. So, anyways, he's locked up in this chamber. They do all these scientific tests to him, and eventually he just breaks out as the Hulk, and this is where it gets really stupid. Okay, up until this point, there's been a few scenes where it's kind of split into, like, this comic book theme type of screen. You know, if you've ever watched Creepshow, you'd understand. Or, I mean, even if you watch this movie, you'll understand. Like, there's, like, a bunch of split screens, and you can't focus on what's going on. I hate that. So it'd be, like, you know, 8 screens at once when, you know, an action part is actually, like, you know, occurring. And you're watching, like, somebody shoot a gun, but it's in, like, 8 different angles. And, you know, instead of, like, left to right how we usually read, well, the, you know, the choreographing's going from right to left as, you know, the action, you know, the action's actually being shot. So, like, while in the course of the action, like, you watch somebody shooting a gun, and the actual end is off to the left rather than the right. It's fucking annoying, and you can't focus in on what's going on because there's, like, 8 different screens, and, you know, it's stupid. So, Anyways, during like the best part of the films, that's what they have, like during the action scenes, and that is why this movie is such a piece of shit. I mean, it's horrible. So, anyways, the stupid part is, you want to watch Glenn die, because he is just such a dork, and like, he's just completely ridiculed, and you hate his character, like, you hate him more than you hate, you know, Dick Cheney right now. I mean, you hate him more than you hate George W. Bush right now. That's how, oh, I hate his character. So, anyways, after the Hulk breaks loose, he starts trying to, you know, get assault teams after him and stuff, try to detain him. Well, that doesn't work, and it's stupid how he dies. He takes out a rocket launcher, but fires it the wrong way, I guess, or something, and it kind of bounces back at him. Well, instead of watching his whole body explode, no, guess what you're left with? You're left with an explosion in the side of his back, okay, and it's like right behind him, and there's like a huge fire, and you don't see his body shooting, you know, you don't see his body like exploding or anything. No, that'd be too cool to watch. No, instead, it's cut to a comic clip, okay? It's like a, it's in a white box, okay? And I'm dead serious, it's like a comic book. And whenever it explodes, it shoots it in 8 different screens, and then he goes, and you watch the explosion in the background, like in the side of his back, and he goes, ah! And that's how he dies. So, I guess in real life, that's how people die. Like, when something explodes and there's like a huge explosion, like nuclear explosion, that's how they die. They don't have their whole body, like, you know, thrown into bits and pieces. No, you just die with a, nothing happens to your body. Your body's perfectly fine. According to this movie, you know. What a piece of shit. So, anyways, the directing in this film is just god-awful. And, pretty much after that, this is actually maybe the only decent part of the movie. They're kind of coming after the Hulk, and the Hulk's just kind of like, you know, speed rushing through like a running back pretty much in the NFL. And, like, they're trying to chase him around with all these, like, you know, choppers and stuff. And there's actually a scene where they try to shoot a missile at him. And the... he takes the missile, okay, this is what he does. he catches the missile, like he's playing football or something, like he's a wide receiver, and then he bites off the missile and then throws it right back at the plane, and the plane explodes. That was maybe the only cool part in this movie, and that was funny. I was laughing. But that's my point. Like, why couldn't this been there, like, the entire time? Maybe it would have been actually a decent film if we had more of this. Like, why did all the shots have to be in the middle of the night, like, and you can't see what's going on? Like, why did it have to be so dark? There's just no fucking excuse for that. None at all. I mean, I'm just, you know, totally bewildered why they couldn't, you know, make the Hulk like that. Like, no, instead, make way for, like, a stupid romantic love story that's, you know, performing like it's on the, you know, soap opera network, and then make way for, you know, scientific technology like that's more annoying than that stupid Beekman's world, that stupid rat, and like to tear his frickin' tail off and shove it up his butt. Anyways, you know, it's stupid. So, after that, after the whole military scene where he's, you know, destroying all the planes and everything, they see that he's heading home. Sergeant Ross contacts his daughter Betty, and he says, listen, you know, he's coming home for you in San Francisco. Well, anyways, they're chasing him over the Golden Gate Bridge, and this is kind of a funny part in the movie, too. The Hulk's, like, on top of the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's on top of an F-19 fighter plane. I think I got that right. I'm not really too familiar with fighter planes. So he's on this fighter plane, and he, you know, the Sergeant Ross tells the guy to kill himself by going the whole way up into the atmosphere. So, you know, and if you know anything about going up into space, you know, it's stupid because you can't go up that far without your plane exploding. Well, he goes the whole way up in space, and he's like the halfway out of the universe, and yet his plane still hasn't burned up in space. Like, isn't your plane supposed to burn up in the atmosphere? Finally, like, after, I guess, like, they filmed this too long, or so, I don't know what happened, or what the hell the directors were doing, but they obviously weren't thinking at the time, right, that, you know, in real life, your plane would blow up, like, right away in the atmosphere. I mean, it can't last very long. So, I mean, half the time it blows up even before you're out of the atmosphere, with as many, gravitational G-pulls that you're doing. So, after that, the Hulk kind of faints himself, and he falls, the whole way down into the water. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but here's the stupid part. You mean to tell me he can walk the whole way underneath the ocean, and then this is what starts happening. He starts walking underneath the road and everything, and then he busts out of the road in San Francisco, and they surround him finally, and then, Betty concurs with her dad to help, you know, save him, and makes him turn into Bruce again. So after all that, it was just stupid. I mean, it was a stupid chase, and, you know, I mean, okay, maybe the military part was cool, but after that, it was dumb. So anyways, they capture him, he turns into Bruce, and they have him, like, in a straitjacket, and the father kind of begs Betty earlier, because they had, like, a meeting together, that he just wanted to say goodbye to his son one last time, and he'd turn himself in. Well, that's not what he really wanted. The Jeffrey Dahmer-type father that he is, he wanted to, he knew that in order to get his cells awakened, he had to have Bruce use his energy on him so he could adapt and become, a Hulk, you're assuming, yourself. But no, make way for Electro Man. Yeah, David Banner as Electric Man. Wait a second, wasn't he supposed to be a Hulk and the Incredible Hulk? I mean, what are we talking about here? Is this really supposed to be based off the story? Like, don't put in the, that's my biggest problem with movies. They put based on the comic book novel of something. Well, if it's going to be based on off of something, make it accurate. I mean, my goodness. Like, yeah, okay, when did fucking Electro Man, like, ever show up in The Incredible Hulk? I don't remember Electro Man ever being a, villain in, like, The Hulk. I mean, I don't even know The Incredible Hulk, but I'm pretty damn sure there wasn't a comic book where, David Banner was Electro Man. So he bites into this electric cord, and normally that would shock you, but apparently not in this movie. I mean, because it defies all logic, and that's a real smart move, because we know what happens to films that defy all logic. Well, he turns into Electro Man, and keeps telling Bruce to hit him, and then, guess what, they're underneath this ocean, okay, and it's so stupid, because the ocean freezes for whatever reason. I mean, I don't understand, like, and again, you're waiting for this big ending battle, and guess what, it's completely dark again. Like, why does it have to be dark? I mean, that's so stupid. Like, you're waiting for this big-time battle between these two, and you've been waiting for this all this time, and you're looking for a villain for the Hulk to beat up, and it just doesn't happen. Like, it's stupid. I mean, what were they thinking? Did they, I don't understand, like, why cut off, why spend so much money on something and then, like, not show it? It makes no sense. So instead, you just hear them battling on and on and on, and then you see, like, all this, you know, DNA crap all over the place, because we need to see that. I mean, if I wanted to watch DNA, you know, like, structural DNA, I'd watch freaking TLC. No, I want to see a matchup between this Electro Man guy and, you know, the Hulk. I want to see the Hulk beat the crap out of his dad. I mean, how cool that would that be, right? Well, not according to these guys. I guess it's more important to look at DNA the entire time. So, anyways, after the water freeze is over, they, you know, supposedly are both dead or presumed dead. And, you know, it's just retarded. I mean, like, the ending completely sucks. And here's the ending. After the ending, 1 year later, you're reunited with Betty, and then she kind of talks to her dad on the phone, and he's sort of at his Area 51 military base, and they're sort of talking and saying, if you knew where Bruce was, you'd tell me, right? And she's like, well, you have all my phone line tapped and all that stuff, so I guess it really doesn't matter, does it? Oh, that's really nice. I mean, your own dad having to tap your phone, your computer, everything. That's pretty retarded to me. So, after all that, and another thing about this film I failed to mention beforehand, I should have. What is it with the president, you know, these cheesy presidents in these films, you know, with Marvel? Like, first we saw it in X-Men, and, like, it was so retarded. Like, why do we always have to have the president involved in a mutant crisis? I mean, you don't see the, you know, in Batman, like, sure, you see the mayor, but you don't see, like, a president. I mean, a national, you know, governmental leader, like, in this film. Like, why does there always have to be, like, a cheesy actor playing the president in the United States? And why is he always fishing all the time, like, in a lake? I mean, maybe that's what presidents do, but it's just still stupid, a stupid waste of a scene that doesn't need to be shot. Like, why did the president have to get involved with this? It's stupid. So, anyways, besides that point, after that, they're talking 1 year later, and pretty much what happens is this, you see David Banner, he's actually alive, and he's kind of in the jungle. Wow, there you go. You could have started with the jungle in the first place instead of having a stereotypical set like Area 51. It's stupid. I mean, I'm sorry, I just don't get the logic in any of these, you know, settings that they pick or sets. I mean, they're freaking god-awful. The quality of this film sucks balls. So, anyways, after that, Bruce Banner's just kind of, helping these people out with medicine and stuff, and he kind of says, you know, here, this is to help your, you know, kids be healthy again, because I guess they were sick, and he was using his serum to help them out. Well, these gorillas, I guess, out of the jungle come out and they say, you know, in their stereotypical tongue, give us, you know, the medicine or we'll kill you. How dare you help these people that fight against us? And then, again, that stupid, cheesy line. And this is how the movie ends. He goes, "You don't want to make me angry." And that's it. You don't see him transform into the Hulk, nothing. All you see is the end. What a piece of shit. You don't even get to see a good battle. Like, I wanted to see him turn into the Hulk and kick the crap out of those gorillas. Like, it's stupid. I mean, what were they thinking with this ending? Did they think people were going to, like, sit there and clap for this? No, they were going to throw popcorn at it and, like, pee all over the screen because it's retarded. I mean, I hate this movie. It is so bad. Like, I mean, I'd rather, you know, watch a Family Feud marathon with, you know, the seasons that Louis Anderson was on it. I'd rather see Louis Anderson play the Hulk than, you know, Eric Bana. I mean, this movie sucks. It's horrible. It stinks. I mean, you know, it stinks worse than Rocky's apartment. Ugh. And to think that this was actually involved in, like, nominations, I mean, who gave this movie two thumbs up, Siskel and Ebert? I mean, we've seen what type of films they, like, love. I mean, they bash, like, Rocky, and it comes out and becomes, like, the greatest film ever, yet they, you know, give, like, movies like, the, you know, Grease 2, like, two thumbs up, and it's, like, the worst, you know, theatrical film musical ever. So, with that said, you know, a lot of people are afraid to go see The Incredible Hulk, and, I mean, I can't blame them. Like, I would be too, and that's what turned me off for a while, but, you know, now I'm kind of interested to go see it, and now that I know that it's not going to be based off of this piece of crap film. So, I'm kind of interested to go see it, actually, and I'd recommend, you know, anybody else that's curious to go see this film, too. Pretty much, I'm a little disappointed that Jennifer Connelly wasn't invited back. I thought she did, you know, a brilliant job. I'm biased because I think she's hot, but, hey, I mean, she's very good-looking, and she's a very talented actress. She did very well in Blood Diamond. I love that film, and I think she deserves another shot. Now, as far as Eric Bana is concerned, I mean, he stinks. I mean, there's no excuse. He shouldn't even be allowed to walk in Hollywood anymore. Him and George Clooney should be, like, in Batman, and they should create another Batman film just so it sucks. I mean, Eric Bana and George Clooney together, there you go, there's a winning pair. Why don't you put Eric Bana in Burn After Reading, too, while you're at it? Well, that said, this is pretty much going to wrap up the show. Special thanks to IMDb.com, where I got my information from, and where most of the time I get my information from for this show. Thanks a lot to those website guys, because without, you know, that website, this show would definitely not be possible. Also, special thanks to the fans out there that have been listening to my show over the past couple weeks. I've been just literally, you know, thrilled with anybody that listens to my, you know, review. You know, I checked the website on Podomatic.com the other day, and I was just thrilled to see how many people have been listening to my show over the past month. I mean, literally surprised. So, again, thank you for your support. And if you ever, you know, want to see something reviewed, feel free to email me at zman1201@yahoo.com. I'll be more than happy to, you know, listen to your comments. You can find me on MySpace. You can find me on Facebook. You know, I even have a Facebook group called, actually, the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery. So, again, you know, comments, suggestions, I'll take them. Pretty much so. Well, with that said, pretty much Halloween's coming up, and we're going to do some really bad Halloween films. A lot out there, so I'm looking forward to doing that as we embrace on October. The weeks and days are just flying by. So, well, thank you for, you know, again, your support and constant support. And you have a nice day and enjoy, you know, the arrival of October and the exciting holiday of Halloween. This is Adam Zielinski, a.k.a. the Z-Man, signing off for the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery.